All right, let's dive right into this research review on pediatric gender medicine.
Okay.
Specifically, the use of GnRHA and GAH in adolescents experiencing gender dysphoria.
Right.
You've handed us this ACTA Pediatrica review and asked us to unpack it, our
Yes.
mission, to sift through a lot of data and figure out what does it all really mean?
And it's a dense one.
It is.
This review dives deep,
Yeah.
analyzing 14 longitudinal studies to try and understand the long-term impacts of these treatments.
Exactly. We're talking about some pretty big questions here, especially regarding mental health.
Yeah.
And it gets even more complicated when you consider how the field has evolved.
Right.
The current affirmative care model, which guides many clinicians today, has its roots in the Dutch protocol from 2006, but there are some important
You've
distinctions.
hit on a key point.
Yeah.
That psychologically stable requirement from the Dutch protocol,
Right.
it's noticeably absent in the current affirmative care model.
That's the difference that really struck me. It raises some big questions.
It does.
How are we defining readiness for these treatments now?
Right.
And how do we weigh the potential benefits against the risks, especially when we look at the research?
And that's where this ACTA Pediatric Review gets really interesting,
Okay.
because it tackles those questions head on,
Okay.
examining outcomes related to depression and suicidality.
Okay, so before we get into the weeds, it's important to remember that all of the studies included in this review are observational.
Yes.
That means they can show us correlations, but they can't definitively prove cause and effect.
Precisely.
Right.
Think of it like this. Just because two things happen together, let's say, an increase in ice cream sales and an increase in heat stroke cases, doesn't mean one directly causes the other.
Right.
Right.
There could be other factors at play.
Exactly.
Like summer
Right.
seems obvious,
Yeah.
but it's a distinction a lot of people miss when interpreting research.
It is.
So, keeping that in mind, let's look at what these studies tell us about the relationship between hormonal interventions and depression.
Out of the 13 studies that examined depression, six did show some positive correlation with hormonal interventions.
Okay.
At first glance, you might think, great, so there's evidence that these treatments help.
Right.
But the review is quick to point out some pretty significant caveats.
Yeah, this isn't a simple hormones equal happiness kind of situation.
Right.
For one, the improvements in those six studies were often quite small.
Yeah.
We're talking statistically significant, maybe, but not necessarily clinically significant.
Exactly.
I
You
don't
might
know.
see a change on a depression scale, but does that translate to a meaningful improvement in someone's daily life?
Right.
That's the clinical significance we're talking about.
And here's where it gets even more complex.
Okay.
Some of those positive findings were specific to one sex and not the other. So
Yes.
again, not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Right.
And to make things even more interesting.
The largest study in the review actually showed a worsening of depression and an increase in antidepressant use after starting hormonal interventions.
Which is a pretty big deal.
It
It
is.
makes you wonder if there's something else going on there that these smaller studies aren't capturing.
You'll notice a trend in this research. Studies with positive outcomes tend to be smaller,
Okay.
while the larger studies show more mixed or even concerning results.
Right.
This could point to publication bias or a need for more robust research designs in larger populations.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
It's like trying to understand the ocean by just looking at a few buckets of seawater.
Right.
You need that wider lens to get the full picture.
And when we expand our view to suicidality, the picture gets even more complex.
Out of the nine studies that looked at suicidality, the findings were all over the map.
Yeah, it's true.
Really?
It really is.
So no clear consensus.
Only two showed a statistically significant decrease in suicidal thoughts or behaviors after hormonal interventions.
Okay, so two out of nine
Right.
and the others.
Mixed findings or no significant change at all.
Wow.
It really highlights the need for caution when interpreting claims that these interventions are a guaranteed solution for suicidal ideation in youth.
Right.
The evidence just doesn't support that kind of sweeping statement.
It's heartbreaking because, families are grappling with these incredibly difficult decisions,
Yeah.
often facing intense pressure to find a solution,
Absolute.
any solution to alleviate their child's suffering.
Of course.
And that's why it's even more concerning that the most recent large study documented two suicides among the participants undergoing hormone treatment.
Right.
That's a heavy finding.
It is.
It really underscores that this isn't just about numbers and statistics.
Yeah.
It's about real lives and incredibly complex situations.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but wonder what factors might have contributed to those tragic outcomes and what it means for future research and clinical practice.
It's a stark reminder that while hormonal interventions may hold promise for some, they're not without potential risks.
Okay.
And it highlights the critical need for ongoing evaluation, research, and open discussions about both the potential benefits and the very real limitations of these treatments.
You know, it's interesting. While reading through this review, I noticed a pattern.
Okay.
Many of the original studies framed their conclusions quite positively,
uh-huh.
even when the results were statistically insignificant, incredibly minor, or even negative.
That's a valid observation.
It's like they're focusing on a single ray of light while ignoring the shadows in the room.
And that's why this Active Pediatrica review is so valuable. Uh-huh. It encourages a more balanced and nuanced perspective. It doesn't shy away from the complexities or the uncertainties surrounding hormonal interventions for gender dysphoria.
It doesn't give us easy answers, but encourages us to ask better questions.
Exactly.
And that's what makes this deep dive so important, wouldn't you say?
It really is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not about saying yes or no to these treatments.
Right.
It's about understanding the nuances, the unknowns, and the very real need for more research.
Because ultimately, these decisions should be made on a case-by-case basis, right?
Absolutely.
With careful consideration of each individual's needs and circumstances.
Yeah, a really holistic approach.
Yeah.
That takes into account the whole person.
Right. And I think that requires what you were talking about earlier, these right. open and honest conversations.
Yes, absolutely.
Between young people, their families, and their healthcare providers.
In their support systems.
Yeah, conversations that acknowledge both the potential benefits and the potential risks without shying away from the gray areas.
And approaching those conversations with a lot of sensitivity and empathy.
For sure.
Because it's a really sensitive topic.
It is.
And it's important to create a space where people feel safe.
Right.
To ask questions and to express their concerns.
It's about empowering individuals and families to make informed decisions.
Yeah.
Based on the best available evidence, even when that evidence is imperfect or incomplete.
Because we don't have all the answers.
Right.
And that's okay.
And recognizing that there's still so much we don't know.
Exactly.
About, you know, all of this.
This field is still evolving, and our understanding of gender dysphoria and its treatment is constantly growing.
So where does that leave us?
Well, I think...
I mean, in terms of
yeah,
this conversation.
I think it leaves us with a renewed sense of responsibility, right? Yeah, we approach these issues with humility, to listen to the experiences of those directly affected, and to advocate for rigorous, unbiased research that can help us provide the most effective and ethical care possible.
Well said.
Thank you.
And with that, we've reached the end of our deep dive.
Okay.
We hope this episode has given you a clearer, more nuanced understanding of the complexities surrounding pediatric gender medicine and hormonal interventions.
Yes, absolutely.
Remember, knowledge is power.
It really is.
The more informed you are, the better equipped you'll be to navigate these complex conversations and advocate for the well-being of young people questioning their gender identity.
Absolutely.
That's all the time we have for today's deep dive.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us for this important and nuanced discussion.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next time.